And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. The Bible is a powerful indicator of the last days. It gives us the signs to look for. And Jesus himself said that just as you and I, when we look at the skies, see the ominous signs of gathering storms, then just so we should be able to read the signs and know that the end is near. Certainly, we should be able to process the events of the last days in terms of God's prophetic word. Of course, the Bible in the book of Revelation and in other places warns us about famines in the last days, hunger, warns us to protect the oil. For example, in Revelation, it talks about the death of the seas and about great bloodshed throughout this planet, wars and rumors of wars. I want to talk to you today about something that, it seems that I don't talk about very much. But a lot of people today are worried about the future of America and their personal destiny. Because we seem to be on the very threshold or edge of a financial debacle of unparalleled proportions. This morning, the first thing that I do when I get up early in the morning, I get a cup of coffee, and even before I've eaten breakfast, I'm reading newspapers and magazines online from around the world. Today, a Fortis Bank, a bank in the United Kingdom, Australia, and Great Britain, has a report out. Its analysts say there is going to come, just the next few weeks, a financial meltdown. This is a large multinational bank, and it says there is coming a great financial meltdown. We have not seen until, they say, or since, the Great Depression that began with Black Friday, October 29, 1929, on Wall Street. This is a major bank, but wait, that's not all. The Royal Bank of Scotland, one of the largest and most influential banks in the world, prophesied the same. Now, they didn't prophesy, they predicted the same thing just last week. They said the Dow Jones average in American stock market will lose at least one-third of its value and the dollar is finished. In fact, that's what Fortis Bank said. The dollar is dead. It's finished. More and more people are coming out with such predictions. Goldman Sachs, I believe it was Goldman Sachs, it may have been Morgan Stanley, because the two seem to work hand in hand, bilking and deceiving the public like all the Wall Street banks do, put out a report just 10 days ago that warned of some kind of an unspecified catastrophic event that would destroy the American economy. This is one of the largest Wall Street firms. Catastrophe? Financial meltdown. And of course, I could name to you probably 300 or 400 independent analysts who put out financial newsletters and publications who are saying the same thing. As the price of commodities, including wheat, corn, soybeans, even coffee, escalates to an all-time high, the oil futures market boom steadily upward. The banks are teetering on bankruptcy, and one after another is going over to visit the Saudi Arabians or the Kuwaitis or the Sheikh of or Emir of, you know, Dubai or some, one of the Arab little republics, oil rich, and begging for a bailing out or a handout. Citibank did it. Washington Mutual Bank did it. The banks are lining up over in the Middle East begging, please help us or we'll go bankrupt. One of the biggest Wall Street firms, Bear Stearns, was on its last legs. The Fed Reserve stepped in and saved it by merging it with another bank. Countrywide, another huge banking mortgage firm, also out of business, but saved at the last minute possibly. Although some 400 of its banking managers and executives have recently been indicted for fraud. They built the public and now they'll probably be the scapegoats. But all of them are doing it. All of them were doing it. They brought about the real estate meltdown. They brought about the NASDAQ crash. And now it's our food and our gasoline and our oil. And they're not finished yet with the housing market. I recently visited up in Tennessee around Nashville and went on up into Kentucky and Missouri. Saw astonishing things. I got out the real estate section in the weekend paper in Nashville, the Nashville Tennessean. I said, I want to see what the real estate market is doing here. Three or four pages, full pages of auctions. They can't sell their houses there. Now they're having absolute auctions. That means the best price we can get for it. It's gone. Foreclosure, foreclosure, foreclosure. I've never seen anything like it. And now people are writing to me. They said, Tex, we got an equity loan on our home because we thought it would be safe because prices kept going up. So we've been living off the equity loans on our home. They just keep coming and going up. It's great. But now the price of my home is going down and they want me to repay my equity loan and my mortgage and my second mortgage. Well, how could a person be so foolish as to get all those mortgages and equity loans? Why? We thought it was fail safe. It was guaranteed the prices would go up. One lady wrote to me and she said, I bought this house for $90,000 in 1982. And today she was crowing to me, it's worth $545,000. And she, by the way, this was a letter that I received last year. She said, how dare you to do a radio program warning people there was a coming financial problem. My husband and I have never lived so good, she said. Why? Over the last 5 years, we've taken out $200,000 in equity loans. I'm driving a Mercedes. My husband drives a Lexus. And we're taking vacations all over the world, living like kings. But I felt like writing to the sister and said, someday payday comes. And you've got to pay up. People are living, have been living recklessly in America. And they've had so much money, many of them, they've been giving it to their kids and their grandkids, and they've been slothful and lazy and slackers. The average 4-year college degree takes 7 years now, according to Time and Newsweek magazines. Oh, college courses must be a lot more harder and difficult than they used to be. Shut up! No, that's not the problem! Slackers! Kids go there and just goof off and party. Get drunk, sex. They don't study. It takes them 7 years to get a 4-year degree, if they get it at all. Now, I warned you about what was coming with the stock market about, I think it was must have been 6 months or so after Hurricane Katrina and Rita hit. And I had a special program on finances. I don't do this very often. I wish more folks would have listened to me. And here's what I told people back then. And if you don't believe it, get that old tape or CD, and it will show you. Here's exactly what I said. I said, first of all, there's going to be a rally in the stock market. And it'll be the last rally for a long time. There's going to be a rally in the stock market. Buy stocks, but watch out. They're going to sucker you in. I said, as far as real estate goes, it's going down. Now, this was at the very top of the real estate market. And I said, it's going down. Get out now while you can. It's going down. It's going to crash. But the stock market is going to go up for a little while, I said. And then after it goes up and seems to be ready to hit a new high, watch out, it's going to fall too. And the next fall will be bigger than anything. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you, you can go to the Wall Street Journal or Barron's Weekly or any other source, moneymagazine.com, whatever you want, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, whatever it is, Merrill Lynch, they'll tell you that March of this year, while the stock market hit a new high, it seemed like it was doing just fine. And now suddenly it's going down day after day after day as the dollar sinks lower and lower and lower, as I told you it would. I told you on the real estate, by the way, that the only real places of safety, if you had to buy a house or had to have property, would be along the Gulf Coast of Gulf of Mexico in Mississippi and Louisiana, where they were building up after Hurricane Katrina and Rita, and on the Texas Gulf Coast. Or, I said, in a few states, favored states like Texas, for example, because of the oil markets. This is an oil state, and it will defy the national economy. Everybody else has to pay for oil. Well, they're producing oil down here. The Houston Chronicle this very weekend had a report. It said places like Houston, Texas are still prospering. Is there an oil bubble that's about to break because the price of oil far exceeds demand? Yes, but in Houston, Texas, one of the people prospering there said, yeah, I know there's an oil bubble, but we're living in it. It might bust someday, but right now we're enjoying it. We're enjoying the lifestyle. Everything's rosy in Houston, Texas. The petrochemical oil refineries are booming and building and renovating and improving and growing. Meanwhile, they're selling technology and equipment made in Houston, Texas and surrounding areas around the world. And they're sending their engineers and software people and environmental technicians and all derrick engineers around the world to help the world get more oil. So as I told you, Texas has been exempt from the real estate crisis. But how much longer? I'm not sure. I think now we may start seeing some problems in places like Texas. And in those places, Louisiana, New Orleans, and all the others that have been prospering only because they were recovering with their rebuilding program after Katrina and Rita hurricanes. Now, why are we having this financial meltdown? Because of the price of oil going up. Now, I want you to understand something, friends. It's a simple matter. America owes more than any country in the world. We're a debtor nation. And friends, the lender is the master and the borrower is the servant. That's what it says in the Old Testament of the Bible. Did you get that? The lender is the master and the borrower is the servant. And we are a borrower, the world's greatest borrower. We owe more than any other nation on earth. Our national debt, our personal debt has expanded beyond belief. And to really complicate matters, the neocon Zionist Jews that control the White House and the Pentagon have got us embroiled in a worthless, futile war in the Middle East with Iraq and other powers that has cost us over $1 trillion and is now costing us $3.5 billion per week. $3.5 billion per week over $1 trillion. How do they get that much money? They print it. Well, they can't just print it, can they? Yes, they can. But someday the piper comes and says, you printed all that money. And now you got to pay it back. You owe everybody. And when they came and said, pay up, you said, I'll just print more money and give to them. That's counterfeit. We've basically been running the biggest counterfeit operation in the world from the U.S. government and the U.S. mints. I was recently reading in American Free Press, June 30th, 2008, an article by Paul Craig Roberts. Brilliant man, used to be in the Reagan administration. He says, how are we to explain the oil price? Why is it so high? Are we running out? Are supplies disrupted? Or is the high price a reflection of oil company greed or OPEC greed? In my opinion, writes Roberts, and he's absolutely correct, he says the two biggest factors in oil's high price are the weakness in the U.S. dollar's exchange value and the liquidity that the Federal Reserve is pumping out. In other words, the Federal Reserve keeps putting out more and more money that they're printing, creating out of thin air. That's what the Fed Reserve does. Doesn't have any assets. It just creates money out of thin air by printing it, basically. It's sort of the shorthand explanation. And he says the money supply keeps going up. The Fed Reserve is pumping it out. Meanwhile, the U.S. dollar's value goes down, down, down. Of course, anything that there's too much of loses its value. I mean, cubic zirconia rings are, they're everywhere. You can buy your wife the most beautiful cubic zirconia ring for $25. But diamonds are much more precious. They're not making them anymore. I know there's artificial diamonds and there's things that tanzanite and everything that look just like diamonds, but it's not diamonds. The same thing with gold. You make things that look like gold. You can buy spray paint that's gold colored, but it's not gold. It's fool's gold. And that's what we've been doing, pumping out fool's gold in dollars. And we've been using them to buy things because we needed to pay for this dumb war. $1 trillion worth. And now they want to get us into another war. Already, we've tripled the price of oil. We were told that once we invaded Iraq, we could use their oil. It had been shut off before, but we'll use their oil. And boy, everybody thought the price of gasoline would be probably 75 or 80 cents a gallon. After all, we're the great superpower conqueror of Iraq that is the second or third largest producer of oil in the world. We'll have it made then. But it's just like a bank robber. If I go rob somebody's bank and take all that money out of that bank, I'll have it made then. That's good until the cops come and say, you're the culprit that robbed the bank. Well, we robbed the bank in Iraq, but it didn't do us any good because we don't have the money. Somebody else got it anyway. It'd be like the robber robbed the bank and then another robber robbed him. Well, that's what happened in our case. Other robbers took from us. Now, I want to explain to you exactly what's going on because I want you to understand something. The world is changing before our eyes. Barack Obama is running for president on the platform of change. We are change. We can change. Si puede. Well, watch out. You can change, all right, but what changes are going to take place? Now, you have to understand that both Obama and McCain are ambitious, greedy men, psychopaths. Now, I told you about the psychopaths. They're worse than the serial killers because they kill people's spirits. They kill their souls. They lead them into damnation, but before that, they bring them into human travesty. Human misery. They're socially charming. They're adept. They're likable. Why, if you're a drinker, you might want to take them out for a beer sometime. They're so much fun to be around. But watch out. Don't turn your back. They'll stab you in the back, kill you, and take your billfold. Then they'll say it was really mine all along. He stole it from me in the first place. Lie about you. Berate your reputation. They're morally debauched. They use lies, deceit, and propaganda. And that's what they told us about the war. Why, this war will pay for itself. We'll get so much oil from Iraq. It'll pay for itself. Besides that, once we invade, the people will be so happy that we're there, they'll dance in the streets. Yeah, they danced in the streets, all right. With Russian-made machine guns and explosive devices that blew the limbs off of our soldiers. That's how they celebrated American troops coming there, which was predictable, but we were lied to by Bush and Cheney. But there have been no consequences. The Democrats were put into office, took over Congress, because they said we'll impeach them. And we'll end this travesty of a war in Iraq. But they're a bunch of lying dogs themselves, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and all, and Obama and all the boys and girls. They're a bunch of psychopaths too. We now have psychopathic leadership, and they're using tools to exploit you and me and to frighten and batter us all into submission. I talked about that too. Just recently on this radio program, they're using oil shortages, water scarcity, food crisis, climate change lies, global warming lies, terrorism, the threat of nuclear mushroom bombs exploding, the so-called Islamic terrorist. Everything is nothing but a lying threat and a scare tactic by these people. And they've got everybody all psyched up and worried and fearful. And really, all people really want is sex and money and entertainment. And now they're afraid they're not even going to get that. Did you hear what I said? Sex and money and entertainment. That's what the public wants. And they're fearful they won't get that. That'll be cut off. Talking to a young man, I know he and his parents, he's only 21 years old, but he hadn't got a job yet. Graduated from high school 3 years ago. A slacker.
He said, "Hey man, I'm going to Houston this weekend." I said, "Is that right?" "Yeah, there's going to be a concert there, man. You know, Tom Petty, man, you know, the Heartbreakers, he's a rock group. You ever heard of him?" I said, "Yeah, I think I have heard of him." "Yeah, man, but the tickets, $300. But I got it, man. I'm going there."
Look at the kid's eyes. I could tell he was on meth. His parents are living in a filthy trailer place. I know they can't afford any gasoline. His dad doesn't have a job. His mama works at Walmart part-time. And this no-good, filthy kid is going to pay $300 for some rock concert. That's 150 miles away, by the way, over the weekend. And after that $300 is gone, I guess he'll have to break into a few more people's homes and steal their goods as a burglar so he can buy his meth and go to the next rock concert. But if you ask this stupid yokel, this meth head, what he thinks ought to be done about Iran, he's, "Oh, we ought to nuke him, man. Nuke him." I got an email from a Christian sister just this weekend. She was criticizing what I had to say about Israel and the Middle East. So I wrote her back and said, "Well, what do you think should be done?" Christian sister, she wrote me back and said, "Oh, I think we ought to nuke Iran. Just nuke them." Here's a person who doesn't quite understand. Gasoline is $4 a gallon at the pump. If you start another war in the Middle East, probably the Straits of Hormuz will be closed up. The Persian Gulf oil will be unavailable for months and months while they're raising all the ships and everything that sunk there from the war that Iran sinks. Even if we massacred 30 or 40 of 75 million people that live in Iran, which would be a horrible atrocity. But even if we were to do that and totally destroy their military, they have enough capability probably to shut off the oil in the Persian Gulf for months on end while we're cleaning it out. The super oil tankers can't go out. What does that mean? It means gasoline at the pump. Not $5, not $7, but probably $15 or $20 a gallon. It means America's economy is dead. It means we will become the North American Union, and we will have the Amaro because the dollar will be worthless toilet paper. That's what war with Iran means. And yet people say, I like McCain. He's going to get tough. He wants to bomb Iran. Good. That's great, man. I like that. These kids that are playing these video games that are blowing up things, they especially love it. Yeah, man, blow them up. It's so easy. When you're a superpower and you've got nuclear weapons and bunk busters that'll go down and tear up concrete, it's so easy to kill 10 or 20 or 30 million people, isn't it? And it's so Christian, isn't it? It's so Christian to send 10, 20, or 30 million Muslims down into hell. What would Jesus do? Yeah, that's right. Nuke them, Jesus says. Kill them all. Send them to hell. But Jesus, didn't you say, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him, I change my mind, says Jesus. I change my mind. Filthy, dirty Muslims, kill them all. Nuke them. Protect my Israel. They're my chosen. Kill those Muslims. Send them to hell. But Jesus, you said turn the other cheek. Yeah, that was then. I'm a changed God now. Kill them. I've been taking advice from millions of Christian evangelicals that are telling me, kill them all, God. So I just decided to do it. I want you to listen, friends. The last 3 or 4 minutes, what you've heard is not text more, is what I believe. That's the devil talking. That's the devil saying those things. And he's saying it through the mouths of Christians and Americans. Something's wrong. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you why we will most likely have a financial meltdown and crash in America. I'm going to explain who is behind it, who is responsible, and maybe what you and I can do about it if there's time left. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We're talking about crash today. The coming, maybe it's right here, financial end of America. I'll be right back. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. Well, my new book, Mysterious Monuments, the Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Designs, Masonic Architecture, and Occult Places, is here. It's available. And some of you already have it, because if you ordered it in advance, we sent it out to you. The book is 624 very large pages. It's got 875 photos and illustrations. It's big as a probably Chicago or Houston's telephone book. It's a huge production. And I tell you, we've all worked very hard here at the ministry putting out this book. And I cannot tell you how many midnight hours Tex Mars spent writing it, organizing it, working on it, researching it. In fact, really, I've been working on this book off and on, collecting documentation and photographs and such for, well, about 2 decades, to be honest with you. This is a major, major production. Now, if you like Codex Magica, which was the same size, by the way, of a book, you'll love this book. It's an amazing book. It's nothing like you've ever seen before. I promise you that. You'll find out the secrets of Washington, D.C. and the New World Order in architecture, in monuments, in statues, in plain sight, maybe in your hometown. Mysterious monuments. Unbelievable. It is an architectural colossus, a sinister architectural colossus that has now spread its tentacles around the globe, and you've got to have this book. It may be the most important book I have ever written, and I've written 42, I believe it is now. An amazing book, Mysterious Monuments. Never been a book like it, probably won't be a book like it ever again. You simply won't believe it. You won't believe what you see, but it's real. And I explain it exactly. I tell you why this architecture has been put there by the Illuminati, by demon spirits, giving instructions to the builders and architects. They use occult numerology. They use occult symbols and design work. It's the darkest stuff you've ever seen in your life. And Americans believe it's wonderful. But you'll have to see it. Even the cover of the book itself, there is a devil of a demon on the cover, coming up out of the waters of chaos, and he's standing right in front of the Library of Congress. You say, oh, Tex, you're making that up. Oh, yeah? Well, get this book. I'm telling you, there's a horned devil coming up with a trident in his hand, or nearby, I should say, available, right in front of the Library of Congress. And inside, there's the image of this same devil with horns in one of the most ornate, magnificent buildings in the United States. And there is a sex monument, that's right, a phallic sex monument, 6,666 numerologically, feet high, or inches high, I should say, 555 feet, 6,660 inches high, that represents the phallus of this great demon horned beast that stands in front of the Library of Congress. And his consort or wife is on top of the U.S. Capitol building. A great idol of a goddess who's the wife of this horned beast. And underneath her, deep under the Capitol building, many people don't know this, is a crypt. Did you know there's a crypt under the rotunda? The main, you know, circular area building of the U.S. Capitol? There's a crypt. A crypt is for dead bodies. Well, it's there. And there's a mausoleum exactly 13 blocks from the White House. And, well, you'll have to get the book to find out about that mausoleum. The Congregation of the Dead meets there. That's never been exposed either. A mausoleum 13 blocks exactly supernaturally from the White House where the Congregation of the Dead meet. Who is that? Well, you'll have to get the book, find out. Mysterious Monuments. Then you travel over to Europe, and there you will see an image of the great goddess holding up the Euro symbol. A great statue of a goddess. And the people of the world are cowering under her at her great majesty. And then not too far from her is another statue of a woman holding up a cup in her hand. Shades of Revelation 17. Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, who had the cup in her hand full of the filth of her fornications. And she was drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Mysterious Monuments is the most unbelievable prophecy book. It shows you prophecy in stone, built by the devil and his human architects and builders. I'm telling you, sometimes I would just quake when I was working on this book. You won't believe it. I'm telling you, friends, get this book. If you don't like it, send it back. If it's not what I'm telling you, send it back. We'll give you a refund. But I don't think you'll send it back. I think you'll order it, and then you'll order three or four more for your friends and associates. You'll want them to know this amazing spectacle. And I show you exactly what the Bible said would happen, and it happens. And you will see thousands of monuments and buildings and idols built for the glory of the devil all over America and the world, and they're springing up. There's even the gleaming new city of the Illuminati over in Kazakhstan. The star city of the Illuminati being built, where the Congress of the World's Religions and the Congress of World's Governments are going to be meeting regularly. It's astonishing. Mysterious Monuments. Encyclopedia. That's what it is. It's an encyclopedia of secret Illuminati designs, Masonic architecture, and occult places. You will even discover that there is a city in America built in the shape. The city, the streets are laid out like a square and compass of Freemasonry. And it is the site of a company that builds a huge tourist attraction called the Beast that is linked with the number 666. You say, Tex, you're making it up. Really? Well, the city is called Sandusky, Ohio, but you'll have to get my book. I actually have the street layout. You'll see the city and how it's laid out like a Masonic square and compass. Their most common symbol. And who did it? Did the Masons do it? Well, of course. But you'll even have the name of the Master Mason who designed the city. But then there's Washington, D.C., laid out as a satanic pentagram in its streets. And not only that, Washington, D.C., the major part of the city is laid out as Rothschild's six-pointed star. You say, Tex, that can't be. Really? Well, get the book. You'll see. It is. It's true. Mysterious Monuments. Now, we're asking $35. The prophet, of course, if there is a prophet, will go right into the ministry. Every cent you give goes into the ministry. That's what we do here at Power of Prophecy. Order the book now, Mysterious Monuments, $35. We shrink wrap it and plastic and everything so it won't get damaged on the way. Send it to you and actually in a box. We send it to you in a box so it won't get damaged. When you open up that box and you see the cover, you'll gasp. You will. Just looking at the cover of this book, you gasp about it. And you say, what is that? Well, inside, in the chapter called Collective Wisdom of America, you will find out exactly what that image is. It's the secret devil god, the hidden god of America. And it's on the cover of this book, and it's never been revealed before, ever in history. Who put it there? And why? And what does it say about America's destiny and your future? Get the book, Mysterious Monuments. You must get this book. I plead with you. I didn't write it. I didn't organize it. I didn't work for 20 years to make money. This is a passion, it's a love thing I have for telling the truth and exposing the darkness. That's what it is. I have a passion. I admit it. I am obsessed with telling the truth and exposing the darkness. And Mysterious Monuments does exactly that, as Codex Magica did. And the documentation, I think I have about, you ought to see all the footnotes and references, page after page after page. No one can refute it. They'll lie about it, and they'll try to sneak out of it, but it's there. If you want to know what the Illuminati is really doing right before our noses, this is it. And it'll tell you what the future of America is, too, at the same time. Because, boy, they have written their future in architecture and buildings and monuments and statues. They're in Austin, Texas. They're in Toledo, Ohio. They're in Sacramento, California. They're in Las Vegas, Nevada. They're at the boardwalk in New Jersey. They're up in Upper State, New York. They're in Michigan. You will be amazed. Mysterious Monuments, $35. Please add $4 shipping and handling. Here's how to get your book. Order it from us toll-free. Phone right now, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or write and send us a check or money order or cash if you can seal it good in your envelope. $39. Ask for Mysterious Monuments. By the way, you can go to our website, mysteriousmonuments.com. Mysteriousmonuments.com or our regular website, powerofprophecy.com. You can order the book there too. In fact, I understand, Jerry, that many people ordered it this very weekend. We've got it up and you'll see, get a little taste of some of the pictures in it right on our home site, powerofprophecy.com. Go into it and you'll see they're just clicking off and on the pictures. One after another, just showing, and that's only a little taste. Remember, there's probably only like 9 or 10 or 15 images there, but you'll see 875 in the book, plus all the text. You won't be disappointed. It will shock you. It will amaze you. And then you'll know something interesting, fascinating, that God told the truth in the Bible about Mystery Babylon and the great kingdom of evil in the last days. In that kingdom, just as the devil attempted to build a Tower of Babel, they have now built towers and skyscrapers and monuments all over this globe. It's like the Tower of Babel magnified a million times across the globe. Mysterious Monuments. You can send $39 now to our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about financial crash, economic calamity, the possibility of it in America. And I want to tell you what's going on here. Why has the price of gasoline gone up to around $4 a gallon? Why is the price of a barrel of oil at a record $140, maybe more by the time you listen to this program, on the world's markets? Why has it gone up 47% this year alone, the price of oil? It cannot be demand because we are, as I have explained here before on this program, a planet awash in oil. There's oil everywhere. But they don't want to go and get it. Now, there's a big debate in Congress right now whether we ought to drill for oil on the coastal areas. Well, of course we ought to drill for oil anywhere. It's safe. It's clean enough. And we need it. But don't think for a moment the oil companies want to drill. Right in the midst of this crisis that we're having in oil, they're not even building new refineries. Now, some people say it's the environmentalists' fault. For 30 years, we haven't had a new gasoline refinery in the United States. The environmentalists won't let us. Shut up! You're a liar! Yeah, you have to go through some red tape and regulation, but the oil companies can build all the refineries they want to. They don't want to. They don't need them. There's plenty of gasoline and oil. Folks, I read the Hindu Times out of New Delhi, India. I read the Tehran newspaper out of Iran. I read the London Guardian, the London Times. I read newspapers in Singapore and Malaysia and Hong Kong from Africa, South Africa. You know what they're telling me? There's oil tankers full of oil sitting out in the waters of all those continents and nations with nowhere to go because nobody wants to buy the oil. Nobody needs it. There's no lines at your gasoline stations like there was in 1973. There's no lines. There's no embargo. There's no shortages. You can get all you want. They just want your money. They want $4 a gallon, maybe $5 next year, maybe $7, maybe $20. But there's plenty of gasoline. reading an article, Asia Times. This tanker was headed for its destination, a huge tanker full of oil. And they got the message. They got a telegram. It said, the contract's been canceled. We don't need your oil. Under our contract, we can do that. We don't need the oil. Friends, if you don't believe what I'm going to tell you, listen to this. One of the largest producers of oil is Mexico, just south of us. They have a nationalized company called Pemex, Petroleum Mexico, Pemex. They reduced, listen to this, they have reduced their production over the last year 9.3%, according to the Wall Street Journal. At a time when everybody's saying, oh, we're running out of oil, Mexico, Pemex, reduced its oil production 9.3%. Why? Because they couldn't sell it. There's nobody to sell to. Now, Bush made a very, very photogenic journey over to see the sheikhs in Saudi Arabia and asked them, would you please increase production? But what did the oil minister of Saudi Arabia say after he had left? We can't. Because there's nobody to sell it to. And then finally, under pressure, they said, okay, well, if you insist, we'll increase production by 200,000, maybe up to 500,000 barrels a day. But it won't matter, they said, because there's plenty of supply. There's plenty of oil. If you want us to, we'll produce more, but there's nobody to buy it. Meanwhile, a new study just out today, I saw it on CNBC, the business channel. They surveyed Americans, and 53% of Americans said they're going to reduce their travel over the rest of the summer and over the July 4th weekend. 53% of Americans. Another study says that Americans in the last month drove 39 billion less miles in their automobiles. Friends, the San Francisco subway, the New York subway, they're all going out trying to get new cars. They're trying to find a way. They say there's so many people trying to ride the subways and the metro systems. They don't have enough cars for them. I'm not talking about automobiles. I'm talking about these huge train, railroad type cars. We've never had so many people ride the subway. Why? Because they can't afford to buy gas. You can't go and pay $50, $60, $70, $80, $90. Every time you fill up with gas, so you don't go anywhere. You don't go on that trip. And you start carpooling. You start riding bicycles and motorcycles and scooters. Or walking. Or not going to work. A lot of companies are now giving their employees 4-day work weeks. 10 hours a day. And you know what that means? Less demand for oil and gas. And now, they're admitting it. Week before last, 2.7% less gasoline used in America. Last week, 1%, one study shows. The demand keeps going down, but the price keeps going up anyway. Who's doing it? Well, let me tell you. Four of the top oil experts in the world went before Congress last week, and they said it's the speculators. Well, who are the speculators? Wall Street. Wall Street, the bankers. They're doing it. They're driving it up. They're buying oil futures. And they got to keep up the price as long as they can to get out of the market. Once you've jacked up the market and made it go up artificially, see, they started buying at $60, $70, $80 a barrel. They didn't want the oil delivered. They don't have any place. They're Wall Street bankers. They wear three-piece suits. They don't need any oil. They don't sell any oil. They're buying oil futures. They're betting like Las Vegas style that the price will go up. And they're making sure it does because all the billionaires, the Jewish Illuminati billionaires, got together and are driving up the price. In fact, the head of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission before Congress said that there are two firms in Wall Street that are responsible for 80% of the price of oil going up. 80%. And these four experts said if Congress would simply pass one little law and plug up a loophole, the price of gasoline or oil per barrel would drop from $140 to $65 within a week. Instead of paying $4 or $4.25 a gallon for gas, you could be paying $2 in 1 week. If they would stop the speculation, well, who are the biggest offenders? Two companies, one called Goldman Sachs, another one called Morgan Stanley. Now, this is interesting because before this information came out, everybody was wanting to know, why does the price of oil keep going up even when there's no demand for it? Well, it seems that people like Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, they're on Wall Street, these Jewish Illuminati banking firms, have been telling us all for the longest period of time that more people are using gasoline in India and China and places like that. Now the demand is up. Yeah, 6 months. Now, I did some checking. I found out that the demand for oil and gas in China, in India, has gone up. It has. Approximately 3% a year for the last 5 years. 3% a year. So this year it's gone up, let's say the average 3%. But the price of oil has gone up 47% and has tripled in 3 years. Now I'm trying to tell you something. There are more people owning automobiles and having television and electricity and such in China and in India. And probably their usage has gone up 15 or 20% over the last 5 years. But the price has gone up over 300%. It's because of the speculators driving it up. Now, why are they driving it up? Now, let's go through this, friends. Listen to me very quickly. Here's what has happened. First of all, these huge banking firms, Citibank, Merrill Lynch, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan Chase, these big Wall Street firms, multi-billion dollar Zionist Jewish-owned firms, drove up the price of real estate unrealistically. It went up through the moon like a rocket. And everybody said, I love it. Now, just before that, they had driven up the price of technology stocks, the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ hit 5,000. 5,000 NASDAQ. But the index was down to about 1,000 after the bubble burst. And millions of Americans that thought you can't go wrong by buying Google and Yahoo and Microsoft and Dell computer stock found out, yeah, you could go wrong. When their stocks that cost $200-$300 a share suddenly were selling for 50 cents a share. But it didn't dent the banks. They kept going up, up, up. And since they did this scam with the NASDAQ, they said, well, we can do a scam in real estate. And the real estate market was like never seen before in history. What a bubble. And then it burst. And more Americans were driven into despair and despondency and bankruptcy. First, the NASDAQ crashed. And then their real estate crashed. But the bankers weren't finished yet. They said, how can we really get the people? How can we crush America? How can we crush the working people, the middle class people? How can we drive them into the waiting arms of the North American Union and the Amaro? How can we totally destroy the dollar? I know how to do it. They all drive cars. They all have to heat and air condition their homes. America's the number one owner of automobiles, private automobiles in the world. We'll get these spoiled brats. We'll show them. We'll drive up the price of oil artificially. It's a hoax. It's a scam, but we'll drive it up so much they can't afford it anymore. And if that isn't good enough, we'll do the same thing with food, with agriculture. Because now we own all the agriculture, at least 90% of it. We've bought up all the farms. We've driven the small farmers out of business. And now we own the wheat crops. We sell them seeds. And if you want to plant a crop, you have to come get our seeds. After all, we're Monsanto. We're Dow Chemical. We're Agrium. We're Daniel Archer's Midland. We're the corporations. Come beg for your seed, boys. Little farmers. And what do? They drove up the price of the commodities, the food. Now, the price of food hasn't finished going up. It's still going up, up, up because the futures went up. If you drive up the future price of something, you have to realize the future. And how do you do that? You make sure the product itself keeps getting increased in price. The oil companies aren't responsible, but they're going along because they love the vulgar prices. They're getting rich. Putin and the Russians love it because they have so much oil. They're getting rich. The Arab sheikhs, they love it because they're getting rich. The Israelis love it because their Jewish zillionaires are all part of the plot and they're getting rich. This last week, the oil bubble almost burst, though. It went up to a little bit over 140 and then it started going down. It went down to about $131. And that very next day, there were headlines. Israel may attack Iran. Israel's preparing. Bush administration preparing plans. That's the mother of all fears that there'll be a Middle East war, because then the price of oil will escalate to $200, $300 a barrel almost overnight. And just the fear of the war that Israel put out these little stories. Oh, some rockets were sent from Gaza from the Palestinians. There may be war. We practice a mock drill against the Israelis. 100 of our airplanes, we're getting ready to attack. And you know, they might attack. I do smell war, friends. You know why? If the oil bubble bursts, they got to have a war to get them out of it. They're driving up the price of oil, and the only way they can stay solvent is to keep the price of oil up. And if it ever starts coming down, they got to start a war. And that'll drive the price of oil up even more. Then they really can be rich. And you and I will go down the tubes. America will be finished. I'm telling you, friends, if McCain, Bush, Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel get their way, there will be war. I smell war because the manipulators, and it's all out there, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, organized Jewry, not the little Jewish person that lives down the block from you. I'm talking about organized Jewry, organized Jewish multi-billionaires. At Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, the Wall Street bankers, they're doing it. They drove us into the ground by offering us all this money. We were suckers to take it in the NASDAQ technology industries and then the real estate market. And now they're after our food and now they're after our oil and they're going to drive us into the ground. They're manipulators. They're hoaxers. They're crooks. They're butchers of human misery. And next is water. Watch out. Those are the manipulators. And their goal, a capitalistic, fascist, Zionist, new world order. It's on the horizon. It doesn't matter whether you vote for Obama or McCain. Next week or two, I'll be telling you some remedies for that, what we need to do. But I want you to think about what's going on. The manipulators, the scam artist, they're responsible, and we've got to expose them. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to my special program called Crash. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.